Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Nefreda Thomas and I will be your host. And joining me in our virtual studio is my co-host, Minister Imelda Wallace. Natasha Jones is on leave and will not be able to join us on our show today. But she sends her regards and shared that she has really enjoyed her time with us on Blog Talk Radio and wishes our audience well. This morning, the lovely, talented Miss Stacy Silvera will be assisting us in the back room to take callers and manage our chat room. Welcome, ladies. This is our fourth and final show. I can't believe it. It seems like we just started yesterday. Well, it has been a pleasure to say the least, and I want to give our audience an opportunity to join in with us. So before Minister Wallace says hello to our audience this morning, I would like Stacy to start to share how to join in on the show. Stacy?
Good morning, everyone. It's certainly a pleasure to be back on the air with you again this morning. And I'd just like to let you know you can join us via the computer by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by dialing 661-554-9219. That's 661-554-9219. Thank you. Back to you, Nefreda.
Thank you, Stacy. Let's welcome our co-host for the day. Good morning, Minister Wallace, and welcome back.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm sorry. Good morning. I truly like to say that it's been a blessing to be on the show this past month. And although I was so nervous about doing this show, it turned out to be a blessing. And every Saturday before the show, I would pray that God would give me direction and to give me the strength to go forth with the show, because I've been on this show other times when there other groups were on the show. And I've only listened in and sometimes commented, but being a host is totally different from just listening in. But it's truly been a blessing, and I've been excited and sharing IMA and talking about having a discussion about Think and Grow Rich on the topic of desire. So I look forward to the show this morning and probably will miss it on next Saturday. But I will listen in to the other groups that will be hosting next month. And I'd like to thank our callers for joining. I'm sorry, I'd like to thank our callers for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Minister Wallace. I really appreciate your comments. And as always, so eloquent on to the point. Thank you. I would like to take this opportunity just to say that it has been a wonderful, wonderful time with all of our listeners. I want to thank all of you in the absence of our president, Ms. McNeil. She won't be joining us this morning. Her entire family is out living their dreams. They're in Milwaukee this morning. They're all speaking at a conference. They are doing a wonderful job. I'm very proud of them, and as we all are, our president, and how she really takes the bull by the horns and lives her dreams with her family included. So we can take a lesson out of that, and I just want to congratulate them and wish them Godspeed on their trip this wonderful weekend. So before we get started, I want to ask Stacy if she would just one more time give out the phone number and the Blog Talk Radio able to get online so that we can get started with our show this morning. Thank you so much, Stacy.
Okay. Again, you're listening to International Mastermind Association, and we are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. And you can join the conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and pressing 1 if you want to make a comment or ask a question, and we'll get you in on the conversation as quickly as we can. Now back to our host, Nefreda.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I appreciate that. Well, thank you, Stacey. Let's get to today's show. We are reading from the book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We are reading from the first chapter, Desire. I would like to give a brief recap on what we discussed on last week to bring any new listeners up to speed. On last week, we discussed the 6 action steps to begin experiencing riches. According to Napoleon Hill, we must first determine the amount of money we desire, then the service or good we will give for the money we desire. When Napoleon Hill speaks of what one will give to obtain the money, he is strictly speaking of what good or service. Are you selling something or providing a service such as a car repair, installation service, open a new daycare, whatever your passion is, that will turn your dream into riches. So it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we realize that you don't get something for nothing. In other words, you've got to render a service or you've got to be selling something in order to receive funds for it. So in order to do that, what is that you're going to do to, let's say the money that you want to obtain, maybe $25,000 outside of your regular 9-to-5, or if you don't even have a 9-to-5, but you have a desire to have or need $25,000. So what are you going to do to obtain that $25,000? What are some of the things that you can do, some of the skill sets that you have? And I believe that what he's sharing with us is once you have a desire, and it's a true desire, as we understood in the first part of this chapter, with him, with the gentleman trying to get with Edison, that how determined you have to be. If your desire is $25,000, what is it that you're going to do to try to get to that? And then inspired thought and ideas will start coming to your mind to begin to turn the wheel. But first, we've got to start with desire. When there's no desire, there's no inspired thought. So that's the one thing I think I really took away from this chapter. When there's no desire, there is no inspired thought that comes. But when the desire is there, then the inspired thought begins to come to show you how to gain the funds or whatever it is you're trying to get to, and how to make that happen. And God begins to open up the door and make the way. I'd also like to open up for Minister Wallace, to our co-host, to chime in on that. Minister Wallace?
Well, I'm glad you said that. I think you did mention God in it. And I thought about on yesterday when I was reading Habakkuk 2, when it says, write the vision, make it plain, and inscribe it on your tablets, that one who reads it will run with it, may run with it. And I cannot stress how important I believe it is for us to, when we have a desire and when we take it to God, give it to him, we also have to have an action plan. And I go back to when, even if God gives you a vision, you write the vision down, you ask him to give you an action plan for it, and I just believe that in seeking him, Psalms 37 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he should give you the desires of your heart. I believe that he would give you a vision of those and an action plan for those things that you desire, and especially if you're coming to him first about it. You know, I know we're not talking about the Bible, but I can't, you know, help but add that in, putting God first and seeking him. And I just believe that he gives all of us dreams and visions and desires that we have that are of him, that he will give us a plan. We write it out. You got to have a plan, because you can have $25,000 the next 1 week, and the next week you can have nothing. And I've often even heard of people winning the lotto. 1 minute they have the money, the next minute they don't have it. They didn't have a plan. They didn't set up a plan. So even with businesses that have failed, people have to, you have to have an action plan. We see it in the church. God gives the vision. The pastors or the leaders present the plan of how they're going to reach their goals.
Exactly. And, you know, Minister Wallace, just to chime in on that, you're absolutely right. You must insert the Bible. If we really read this book, for those of you who are going to purchase it or have purchased it, who read it before, mostly the majority of what Napoleon Hill is writing is coming directly from the Bible. He's just putting it in a context where you can understand what is being said and what is being asked of us. And I don't think there's a much more plainer book than the Bible that kind of gives you some absolutes. And so for those of us who believe in that, we know for a fact that when you do things justly and in order, that the reward is yours. So I must say that those comments you just shared with our audience are very key and on point and necessary in order to be successful in the things that we are discussing as we read through Desire. And what I'd like to do now is get right back into it. Now that we've given a little brief recap of what we've discussed on last week, I want to go on page 29. We're going to start from the middle paragraph, the second paragraph on page 29 in the book Think and Grow Rich. I'm going to begin reading. Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with the desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it. To the uninitiated who have not been schooled in the working principles of the human mind, these instructions may appear impractical. It may be helpful to all who fail to recognize the soundness of the six actions to know that the information they convey was received from Andrew Carnegie, who began as an ordinary laborer in the steel mills, but managed, despite his humble beginnings, to make these principles yield him a fortune of considerably more than $100 million. It may be a further help to know that the six actions are recommended were carefully scrutinized by Thomas A. Edison, who placed his stamp of approval upon them as being not only the steps essential for accumulation of money, but necessary for attainment of any definite goal. The steps call for no hard labor. They call for no sacrifice. They do not require one to become ridiculous or unthinking. To apply them calls for no great amount of education, but the successful compilation of these six actions does call for sufficient imagination to enable one to see and to understand that accumulation of money cannot be left to chance, good fortune, and luck. One must realize that only who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired money. You may as well know right here that you can never have riches in great quantities unless you can work yourself into a white heat of desire for money and actually believe you will possess it. I'm going to stop right there. That is such a powerful passage that he wrote as it goes into telling you. I want to go right back to where he says you must have a desire. Anybody who has a desire for anything, and he says also that it's whatever principle that you're going, it doesn't necessarily have to be money, but whatever you're going after, a significant amount of imagination, desire has to be present in order to manifest what's necessary for that to become a reality. So I really want to thank him for sharing all of that with us, because that is just monumental in terms of our thinking process to get us to the next level. I want to invite Minister Wallace in to chime in on that, on the passage we just read.
Yes, I'm here. I thought about when you said, because it's not just about money. You know, this chapter is talking about money, but it's in every area, new home, a new car, business, marriage, children, it could be anything. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that it's not just about the money. And I thought about the word desire this morning, and I went to my dictionary to look it up and to get the definition, and it says to wish, to long for, to crave, to want, to express a wish or to obtain, to ask for, or request, an express wish or request. And then it took me back to Matthew chapter 7 when it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. And I said, okay, when we ask God for things, we seek him, we knock. That's a desire. Those we ask him for things that we desire. So it's okay to have a desire. And
exactly.
Yeah, I just desire is in the Bible. You know, it says delight yourself. People think that, oh, because you desire to have money, that's not of God. No. It says it in the word, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So it's okay to have a desire. I just wanted to throw that in.
I think that was
I kept meditating on the word desire. I didn't want it to be a worldly desire, you know, word. It is in the Bible. And it just blessed me when I looked it up, and it just took me back to Matthew 7:7 and also Psalms 37:4. So I just wanted to add that
Thank
in. But you
so
can have a desire
that.
For
yeah.
anything. Yeah, not just for money. It's not just about money. We all have dreams and visions, and those are things that we desire to have.
Exactly. It is also the manner in which we go after them, because when we go after things that cause us to cheat, lie, steal, be dishonorable, lack of character, those are the kinds of things that make a desire unhealthy. It makes it unruly, and it's really not a desire at that point as it relates in the biblical sense or in the sense that he's talking about. He's talking about a good, wholesome desire that sparks good, wholesome thought and excitement and determination that comes from hard work, smart work. That's what he's talking about at that. So there is a difference. So that people understand there is a difference, because people who rob banks, they had desire for X amount of dollars, but they went about it the wrong way. So therefore, that is not the desire that they're speaking of.
Correct. And I'm glad you said it that way, because I couldn't have said it better, Nefreda. That's my point. That's what I was trying to get across to our callers, to help them understand. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's the fine line between the desires. It's the manner in which we go after those things. And I think that the blueprint that the Bible has left us, as well as this wonderful book, I think that it gives us the substance that we need to begin to go after our quest and go after it with the kind of zeal that will be beneficial to us in other areas of our lives. Because when we have a desire, we go after things, we begin to develop other skills that we probably did not have before we had the desire. You know, we begin to develop skills of management. We develop skills of time management. We develop skills of understanding and being able to be open to other ideas and thoughts from other people. We begin to share things that we probably did not do before, but we're doing now.
Correct.
So this has been a wonderful journey. And I have, one thing I think that this book teaches, that you're always forever learning. You're never at an age where you're not learning. The Bible says that old men will dream dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, we are always in a state of learning, desire, and wanting to possess the next available thing that is going to be a blessing to enhance or enrich our lives, no matter what age, no matter what stage. So we're going to be able to do those things if we follow these principles. So that's why I think that this is such a wonderful conversation, a rich conversation. And I want to yield to Stacy before we continue, and Ms. Walsh is going to continue to read for us. I'd like Stacy to give us another station identification break, if you will, and kind of share with our audience how to join us in the chat room, as well as to join us online and on the phone. So, Stacy?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to also just say a few things in reference to your conversation. Napoleon Hill has told us you must have goals and plans if you're going to succeed in any endeavor. And successful people have plans while failures never plan. And he said, education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money. If you've just joined us, you're listening to International Masterminders as we explore the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And you can listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling into the show 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1 and we'll get you in on the conversation as quickly as we can. Or you can also join us in the chat room or log on to your Facebook account and join us at International Mastermind Association's Facebook. Back to you, Nefreda.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and continue reading. Mr. Wallace will pick up after I'm done on page 30. So we finished at the top of page 31 for those of you, page 30, for those of you who are following along with us. And we're starting in the second paragraph on page 30. You may as well know also that every great leader from the dawn of civilization down to the present was a dreamer. Christianity of civilization known to the present was a dreamer. Wait a minute, I'm getting a little confused. Give me a minute. Okay, someone, the greatest power, Christianity became one of the greatest powers in the world because its founder was an intense dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into physical form. If you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. Wow. Never in the history of America has there been a great man and opportunity for practical dreamers as now exist. The hardships of these recent tough and unsettled economic times have put many people back at square one. A new race is about to be run. The stakes represent huge fortunes which will be accumulated within the next few years. The rules of the race have changed because we now live in a changed world that definitely favors those who have had little or no opportunity to win under the conditions existing recently. When fear often paralyzes personal and economic growth and development, we who are in this race for riches should be encouraged to know that this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literature, new features for mass media, new ideas for entertainment. Back of all this demand for new and better things, there is one quality which one must possess to win, that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants and a burning desire to possess it. We have witnessed the death of one age and the birth of another. This changed world requires practical dreamers who can and will put their dreams into action. The practical dreamers have always been and always will be the pattern makers of civilization. We who desire to accumulate riches should remember that the real leaders of the world always have been individuals who harnessed and put into practical use the intangible, unseen forces of unborn opportunity and converted those forces or multiples of thought into skyscrapers, cities, factories, airplanes, automobiles, and every form of convenience that makes life more pleasant. I'm going to stop right there. I think that we have really just read or gone over a mouthful. How powerful is that first, the first paragraph when he talks about how Christianity became one of the greatest powers of the world because the founder was an intense dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmitted into physical form. Now, that is a very powerful statement. And, Mr. Walker, you can expound on that for us.
Well, I believe he was talking about our Creator when I read that this morning. And also when in his second chapter, too, because it talks about unsettled economic times. It's funny because I think this book was written some years ago, and we're going through this unsettled economic times right now. And I've heard of it, and it says, the rules of the race have changed because we now live in a changed world. And so many things have changed around us with this economy and things that are going on. And I thought about this morning, people losing their jobs and being laid off. I've heard of so many great stories of people going back to college, opening their businesses, not even realizing that they were capable of doing that or had the willpower to do it. And I just, you know, talking about dreamers, sometimes we're pushed into our blessings. And although it may look like it's an evil thing that's being done to us, it actually turns out to be a good.
Agreed. Thank you so much for your comments, Mr. Walsh. Stacey, did you have anything you wanted to add to what we've just read?
Are there any callers that have raised their hands?
Nobody's raised their hands yet, but I think that, you know, the comments that you made, particularly about the fact that we're going through this process again, is very real. And we just have to pick up this book and read it with great intensity, because the tools are right here in this book. And if you want to know more about International Masterminders Association, you can visit us on the web at internationalmasterminders.com and find out a little bit more about the organization and how you can get the tools that you need to help you to execute the process that Napoleon Hill has presented to us. And that's it for me.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I also, like, before Ms. Walsh begins to continue reading, I want to share that if you all noticed, this book was written a very long time ago. And
yeah.
Do you notice that how this was orchestrated, that this book never is old? Because everything he just shared is a direct reflection of what we are experiencing right now in 2012.
Okay. Yes.
Everything that I just read is happening right now, and yet this book was written, I don't even know the year its first copyright. It was so many, many years ago. If you're talking about people like Thomas Edison and people like the gentleman who made the first car, you've got to be talking about in the late 1800s almost, sounds like to me, but I'm sure it's before then. I mean, it's after then. But it has been many, many years before many of us were born. And yet the things that he's discussing in this chapter are happening to us right now. So
right now,
this is a very, very appropriate book for the time. And it shall be, I think, as we move through life and through the time, that this book will still be relevant, if you will, to all the things that we're experiencing, and a wonderful guide to help us get to where we need to be. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and yield to Minister Walsh to continue our reading, and she will share with us where we're reading from and where we're taking up for those callers who may have just joined us.
Yes, and just to piggyback on what you just said, I just wanted to go back to page 30 at the bottom of the page. It says, this change world requires practical dreamers who can and will put their dreams into action. And I just really just thought that because there's a change in this world. And not that, you know, just because the world is changing around us, we still can go after our dreams and our goals and not be discouraged. I just wanted to piggyback on that. I thought that was really powerful. But I'm reading now. I'll start, pick up reading on page 31, first paragraph. There's tolerance and open mind are practical necessities of the dreamer today. Those who are afraid of new ideas are doomed before they start. Never has there been a time more favorable to pioneers than the present. True, there is no wild and woolly west to be conquered as in the days of the covered wagon. But there is a vast business, financial, and industrial world to be remolded and redirected along the new and better lines. In planning to require your share of the riches, let no one influence you to scorn the dreamer. To win the big stakes in this changed world, you must catch the spirit of the great pioneers of the past whose dreams have given to civilization all that it has of value. It is that spirit which serves as the lifeblood of America, the burning desire to take full advantage of the wonderful opportunity, yours and mine, to develop and market our talents in a free land. Let us not forget Columbus' dream of the unknown world, staked his life on the existence of such a world and discovered it. And I just think that's so interesting because it says, planning to acquire your share of riches, let no one influence you. Sometimes you have to keep your dreams to yourself because people will talk you out of it. You can't do that. I don't believe you can do that. Or you come to find out that 2 years later, your dream has been fulfilled through the person that you shared it with. So sometimes you have to keep some things to yourself.
Exactly, I agree with that.
Yeah. I am not sure how to pronounce that name of that individual. I'm reading from the third. Thank you so much. Right, so I didn't want to say his name wrong. Thank you, Nefreda. He dreamed of the multiplicity of worlds and revealed them. No one denounced him as impractical after he had triumphed. Instead, the world worshipped at his shrine through providing one more. Success requires no apologies. Failure permits no
alibis.
If the thing you wish to do is right, you believe in it, go ahead and do it. Put your dream across. Never mind what they say. If you're met with temporary defeat, for they perhaps not know, the very failure brings with it the seed and equivalent success. Henry Ford, poor, uneducated, dreamed of a horseless carriage. Went to work with what tools he possessed within waiting for an opportunity to favor him. And now evidence of his dream belts the entire earth. He put more wheels into operation than anyone who ever lived because he was not afraid to back his dream. And see, that's when it says, let me go back to the part where it says, I apologize, I missed my point. Oh, if the thing you wish to do is right and you believe in it, go ahead and do it. And that goes back to, you know, what I was saying, that, you know, sometimes everybody's not going to see your vision and believe in your dreams. You have to just go for it. Even if it seems ridiculous to them, you know that that's what you desire to do, and just go for it. And I think back on Edison. He got on a freight train with no money, and that was at the beginning of the chapter. He had nothing, but he believed. He had a desire. He believed, and although it might have looked ridiculous to someone else, he went for it. He didn't give up on his dream.
If I could just interject here, I also think that Napoleon Hill is showing us that sometimes when you try something, even though it's not a success, you learn something in the process. And the next time you try on your dream, you'll remember what failed the first time and do a better job the next time. So I think a lot of times we're so afraid of failing that we never try. But if you apply what's being said in this book, you have to keep trying, failing, pick up yourself, do it again, try again.
Right.
And with each step, you will get to the success of your dream. And, you know, if you even put it in the terms of a little baby that's learning to walk, they don't get up and walk right away. They get up, they fall down, and they take two steps and fall. And, you know, eventually they're running. And then we wish they would go back to being in our arms. But, you know, I think it's so important for us to get that message that you have to, nothing beats a failure but a try, you know. So.
Right. Right.
Amen. I'd like to, you know, echo on both of what you ladies are sharing. It's such a wonderful conversation for our listeners. I really wanted to also see something else, say something else that I see with everything that he's discussing in this chapter design. There's a little story someone told me about that they had a dream that they passed away or something along those lines, and God took them to this big room. And he opened up the door, and he said, "Wow, what is all this stuff in here?" He said, "These are all the things that I desired to give you, but you were too afraid to go after them. So therefore, these are the things that you could have had when you were yet on the other side, and you chose not to go forth and just follow your desires and your possessions and the things that I had given you. You did not trust me enough to take you through. So these are things you didn't get." And then a friend of hers had lived such a wonderful life. She went through her other room, and her room was empty. And she said, "Well, why is my room empty?" He said, "Because you went after everything. And everything that I desired for you was given to you." And I think that was such a powerful little story. I think that was in the book called Acres of Diamonds, if I'm not mistaken. Because Anne always has us reading everything, and I read that book a very long time ago, and I believe that was in the book. I may not be telling the story exact, but that is the gist of the story. And I think that what we're seeing in Thomas Edison and some of these others that he's using is that it started out with a very humble, meek beginning that you would not look at them then and believe they be where they are now. Our pastor often tells us about the one suit that he would wear every Sunday to be in church. Mm-hmm. And when I look at him now and I think about that story, I'm like, wow, if you would have looked at him then, you would have never imagined him to be where he is now, and how God has moved him, and how things, if we go after what we are given in the unction in our hearts and our spirits, it is given to us by the Holy Spirit in my own personal opinion. Everybody has their own lives and beliefs that they have, but for me, that's where I believe it begins and resonates, and then you need to put the rest of it with it in order for it to manifest and grow into the God you want through, as Stacey shared with us earlier, planning, setting goals, and believing that it can be, and already knowing that it will be. And if you say those types of things and believe those types of views, you'll always be ahead of your dream and never behind it. So I really, really want to share that with you, that I picked that up as we're reading through, that desire comes from the unction of your spirit, and that you need to go after those things and stop being afraid to let go and be able to receive them. So that's just my little comment. I wanted to share with everybody.
We do have a caller that wants to join in on the conversation. Shirley, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, good morning. It's so wonderful. This conversation is, I wanted to raise my hand earlier, but I went and grabbed some books that I've been reading, and talking about desires and the topic, talking about the topic and everything. So I'm like all over the place now. I wrote some things down on the subject you were talking about earlier when you all were discussing desires. And I had wanted to include some of those principles. For me, is having the integrity. You having to have some type of integrity too in making sure. And that's where Mr. Wallace and Mr. Frederick was talking about the will of God. In your life, asking. The integrity of accepting. Not so much accepting, but believing that. It is He that should follow the will that He has for our lives. And through that, He shows us a dream, gives us a vision in what His desire is for us to become, because He knows the plans that He has for us. But it would still take us through the journeys and the valleys and, our lows and our highs to get to that point, which brings me to I was reading I can't pronounce his name that well. It's Deepak Kumar. He was on Oprah's show the other night. I can spell his last name. It's Chop. Yes, and that's his name. Yes, and so in the book that he wrote on the seven spiritual laws of success to success, and in the book he quoted, and I definitely can't say this name. I don't think anybody. It's such a long name, but I'm going to give this quote anyway, and kind of credit to Deepak that he would use this in one of his in his book. You are what you are. Your deep driving desire is, as your desire is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so is your destiny. And you all were talking about Ford and Edison, especially Ford when he had a dream or a desire of imagination of creating the wheels and the car, all the cars and everything that we drive now and everything. But he had a deep desire, and he kept the faith and kept hope alive, I feel, in doing this. And it came out to something, his destiny was fulfilled. And not just for him, but so many of us that want to drive or want to obtain a car or want to, to get places. It just brought so many other meanings into character, with it. And so I wanted to share that. And I also wanted to share in his fifth chapter in the book of seven spiritual laws of success. It's his first, on the first page it says, the law of intention and desire. Inherent in every intention and desire is the mechanics for its fulfillment. Intention and desire in the field of pure potentiality have infinite organizing power. And when we introduce an intention into fertile ground of pure potentiality, we put the infinite organizing power to work for us. To me, it means we just need the seed has been planted, it is our desires, it's in us. And in order to fulfill these things, we have the intention and desire to make these things happen. And we also have the potential, but we have to organize that power. We have to, like you were saying earlier, you have to have a plan for these things. You have to write the vision down. You have to journal your thoughts. time management and spending a certain time of day or a week or a month to go back over those things and where am I now in this area of making sure that I get to my destiny, that I get to the things that I desire, to fulfill them. What progress am I at now? And it can be, it starts with short range goals to long. You know, you just make a 3-year or 4-year plan, and but you don't wait to the 5th year to try to figure it out. You go through the process of all these things, you know, working those principles and the intentions and, you know, making sure that, you know, nursing them, watering them, feeding them, you know. Okay. And I'm just, you know, I'm excited right now.
Yeah. Well, great.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your comments, okay. Shirley. And we do have Sharon Jackson is also on the line. And, Fred, I don't know if you want to take the call now. And then get back to your discussions as quickly as you can. Sharon?
Good morning, ladies. I have really enjoyed the conversation. I wanted to know, you made me start thinking about when the book was actually written, because I remember that it was written about the time of the Great Depression. So I went back and I opened my book, and in the editor's foreword, it says, remember that Dr. Hill first published Think and Grow Rich and the money-making secret it contains in 1937 at the depths of the Great Depression. He didn't publish his first editions until 1960, which deleted many sections that appeared in the original because they thought that it dated the book. Now, the books that we're reading now, at least the book that I think I'm reading and I think Nefreda's reading, I've seen it in her book and her hand and some of the others, are a version that have put a lot of the information that was deleted out because they thought that it dated the book because it was done in the Great Depression. It was restored. A lot of that information is restored. That's why it's so relevant to us today, because we see so much of what happened in the Depression happening now. So they decided it doesn't matter. It all is relevant. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this is a book that is timeless. We go through cycles. You know, that's everything. Right. Everything in our life goes through cycles. And this book shows us how we get through the cycles, whether we're at the top of the cycle or we're at the bottom of the cycle. And so it is very, very important that this book and several other books are our foundation in life so that we don't go down dark alleys. You know, that we're always, we may take a wrong turn, but we always realize, oh, my gosh, this is not right. This is not my plan, my life plan. This is not, you know, what I have instilled in my life, the foundations of my life. I got to get out of here so we get back on the right path. And it's kind of like what the Bible says, you know, train up a child which way it shall go, and they'll not depart from it. So anyway, that being said, I just wanted to make sure you knew how much I was enjoying this. And I also wanted to make sure that I made sure that you knew that the youth are going to take over the guiding the talks in May. We take it for granted, assuming that when our youth talk, they're just talking to this guy, Ms. Jackson and Ms. Stephanie. Well, we got to read this stuff and make sure that we know what we're saying. But we heard some of the kids talking, introducing this book to some of the older kids that are just being introduced to IMA. So they have read. They do understand Think and Grow Rich. And they are involving it in their everyday life more than we know. So we say, shoot, let's just put them on Blog Talk and we'll hear a different dimension. You know, I don't know how old everybody else is, but shoot, I'm heading fast and furious toward being of retirement age. I'm getting my AARP card. And so it would be nice to hear
I'm looking forward to hearing the youth perspective of the interpretation of Think and Grow Rich. I'm very excited, and I encourage our listeners to tune in next week when the youth take over as hosts of this very enlightening show where we explore the book Think and Grow Rich. Thank you so much for coming, Sharon. And I want to the listeners that don't have the book, I actually have the ISBN number for the Think and Grow Rich that International Mastermind Association uses. It is the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill, and the ISBN number is 1.59330.200.2. So if you are really interested in utilizing the book with all of the stuff that has been left out of previous versions, make sure you get the one that we are using, Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. Nefreda, we have about 10 minutes left on the show. I don't know if you want to get back to your discussions with Minister Wallace, and so we can start wrapping up the show.
Not a problem. Yeah, we have a few things we'd like to share with our listeners. I really would like to expound a little bit more what Sharon was sharing with us briefly. Sharon Jackson, thank you so much for joining us this morning and joining our conversation and giving us that update on when this book was written and giving us some history, if you will, on some of the things that are about the Think and Grow Rich segments and how they were written and how they affect us today. That's really what I was trying to get to, and I thank you so much for sharing that and giving us the clarity on that. Very important. I wanted to expound just a little bit more on the youth. Our youth today are going through a lot. They have a lot of, if you will, a lot of peer pressure, a lot of things that they're trying to find things to do that are not always as apropos we as parents and leaders would like to see them going after, but it is up to us to give them the different ways that are available to them. And I just want to say that Sharon and Stephanie are doing a wonderful job with our youth. They have grown in leaps and bounds. If I have parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, mothers, fathers on the line with us now, listening to us via email, via the phone, download this later, it is important that you get your youth involved in something positive and something that's uplifting and something that's building their minds and their thoughts to be wonderful citizens as they move toward adulthood. We want them to be wonderful citizens and be able to add something to our society. In order to do that, I think that it's up to us to set the groundwork, set the foundation, continue to water the plants, continue to give the soil. And I think that what Sharon and Stephanie are doing is such a wonderful, rich job with our youth. I really would hate for anyone to miss out. So please feel free to check out the youth and how to get a hold of Sharon Jackson and their team as they move into new memberships. I believe membership will be reopening for the youth again. I really would like Sharon to chime in at this point with me. The youth are very dear to my heart. I started out with the youth, and I know how important it is for them to be a part and to do the things that they do. So I really want to encourage our listeners to not just listen in to the show, but to make your youth a part of this organization. It is very important. I believe it's only $50 to join, but it will be extremely rewarding for them. And I'm going to have Sharon Jackson share with you how she would like you to get in contact with them in order to make your youth a part of this part of our organization. Sharon Jackson?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you so much for saying that. My contact information is 561-714-7000.
6481. You can call me anytime, any day. And I will return your call, and we will encourage you. 5 o'clock on every Sunday afternoon, we have a youth call, and then we have a blog talk show at 5 o'clock the first Sunday of the month. And then we have a face-to-face, usually the third, but we changed it this week. And then we're going to have our face-to-face this afternoon. So anyway, please have your children, even if it's just for a trial period. I think you will see a change.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It's really important. I just cannot stress enough how important it is. For those, I don't care if you're a grandparent, an auntie, a mom, or dad, you need to have your youth to join in with this group. I want to begin to wrap up. It has been a pleasure for Call to Conquer to be your host for the month of April. We are actually counting the days and hours that the time will come back around for us to be on with you again. But we're going to move out of the way, allow our youth to take over for the next month and to share with you their thoughts, their dreams. And it gives our adult audience an opportunity to call in and interact with our youth and find out what some of them are thinking, how they are moving through their lives, and what we can do to be assistive to that. So I am looking forward to everyone joining again in next week to support our youth again. Also, I'd like to share with you as we close out, remember that our mid-year is coming up. It is going to be Saturday, August 18th, 2012, from 8 o'clock a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Embassy Suites Hotel, located 661 Northwest 53rd Street in Boca Raton, Florida, 33487, for those of you who are MapQuesters. For more information and costs of this event, please check out our website at www.internationalmasterminds.com. I want to make sure that you all realize that we're updating that information on a regular basis. So if the latest information is not there, please continue to check back. We definitely will update it as we get closer with the ways and how much it costs. And for those of you who may want to travel to join with us on that day, please feel free to check out our website. There should be some additional information there, with phone numbers to give you a one-on-one conversation with someone to help you make it into the city. So, again, that is Saturday, August 18th, 2012, from 8 to 3 o'clock at the Embassy Suites Hotel, located at 661 Northwest 53rd Street in Boca Raton, Florida, 33487. For more information and costs of this event, please check out our website at www.internationalmasterminders.com. I want to give our co-host, Minister Wallace, and who joined us today, the lovely Stacy, to give their closing comments and to end the call. But again, it's never goodbye, just so long until next time. Minister Wallace?
Yes, Ida Freda. I just want to encourage our callers to never give up on your dreams. I know that there are times when we are discouraged and we feel like failures, but you're never a failure. I like the fact when I think Sharon was speaking, I thought about the seasons that change in our lives, the seasons that we go through, and I thought about the four seasons of the world. And if you go back over your life history, there are seasons where you've gone through and you've had some setbacks, but you always bounce back. There's always a brighter side, and I just want them to be encouraged. I would encourage you all to buy the book, Think and Grow, which has been really a blessing to me. It just talks about so many different things and different areas of our lives. Even the next chapter is on faith, and I just think that is it's a very interesting chapter. And the book talks about organizing and planning and knowledge. And so to our callers, be encouraged. And I wanted to read something from page 33, what Nefreda, I highlighted with a purple highlighter in my book. and I can't see all of the words clearly, and I just wanted to know if you could just share that. I think that would be encouraging for our listeners to hear just what this on page 33, the third chapter where it says, "You have been disappointed."
Okay. On the third paragraph, you mean?
Right, yeah.
Okay. You may have been disappointed. You may have suffered setbacks and defeat during hard economic times. You may have felt the great heart within you crushed within until it bled. Take courage for these experiences. Have tempered the spiritual metal of which you are made. They are assets of incomparable value. Remember, too, that all who succeed in life get off to a bad start and pass through many heartbreaking struggles before they arrive. The turning point in the lives of those who secure success usually comes at a moment of some crisis through which they are introduced to their other selves. I think that that is a wonderful way for us to end this show and this chapter.
Yeah.
And I wanted to yield to Stacy to close us out. And if I forgot anything, if you would share that with our audience, Stacy, I really would appreciate it and close us out. But thank you all so very much. It's been a wonderful four Saturdays. I have enjoyed myself. I'm about into tears. I'm going to miss you guys. This has been a rewarding experience for me, as I'm sure everybody else on our call. And Natasha sends her best as well. And we wish her Godspeed as she is away on family business. So thank you all so very much. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And remember to always live your dreams. And thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home these past four Saturdays. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and enjoy the balance of your year. Stacy?
And thank you very much, Nefreda. And just to remind you all, you have been listening to IMA as we explore the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We're here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. And we invite you to join us again next week when our youth will be taking the reins as hosts of the show. And as our founder, Anne McNeil, always says, you must have a dream to have a dream come true. And take that with you for the rest of the week and come back and join us next week. Have a wonderful day.